Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. Fiona and Dash here. And one thing that I like thinking about is dualisms. And so what I think to be true of myself, but then what is the opposite that shows that it may not be exactly true. And being able to hold both at the same time. For example, something that came up recently for me is, you know, absolute would say advocate, because I am one, of people of color, of different cultures, but terrible at pronouncing names from different cultures.
What do you do? Because that's embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing. Sometimes I plug it into Google.
Yeah.
But sometimes it doesn't always get it 100% right.
Yes.
And I often try and ask, but sometimes I haven't had a chance to ask before I need to interact with that person.
Yeah.
And so I'm like always going, is it blah, blah, blah? And like, you know, being really tentative about it. But it's just because I didn't learn another language. So I didn't get to speak Tamil or Sinhalese. I only speak English. And I think when you do speak multiple languages, you're better at pronunciation of different names from different cultures.
Yes.
And so I feel like I'm very white in my pronunciation.
Yes.
And I make everyone's names sound Western.
Okay, because that's how your brain is working in that capacity.
Because I haven't ever learned a language that's not English.
It doesn't even have to be like a colour issue, because like a lot of Irish names are really difficult to know how to pronounce.
I pronounce my Irish colleagues' names wrong, and even when they've told me, I haven't been able to break the mispronunciation.
Is it the way that you learn as a learner? Like if I have troubles with a name, I always ask, can you spell it for me? And I write it down. I actually physically write it down so I can see it. And then my brain is able to work out how you say that.
I think I need to have it written down and then written down phonetically.
Yes. Yeah,
phonetically. And also I need to hear it.
Yes. Okay. So do you go on to, like I go on to Google and go, how do you pronounce quite often, and put the name in?
Yeah.
And then it'll pronounce it for you, and I sort of repeat it back until, and sometimes if I've got someone with me, I'll let them listen to it as well and go, this is how we say this name.
I do that, but it has been wrong sometimes.
Okay.
So I don't know, like it might depend on the region the name comes from.
Yes.
There might be slight differences in pronunciation.
Yes.
So anyway, but that's two things to be true. What's something from you?
Something from me is I think I am a really, really good best friend, and I've got a couple of people who are best friends, and yet they might not hear from me for 6 months.
And they're okay with that?
Yeah. I think what it is I'm the type of, if we pick up the phone and talk to each other in 6 months' time, we're still best friends. Nothing's changed.
Yeah. Like,
absolutely nothing has changed. But I think what it is I'm not a person who is in your pocket all the time. I'm a person who, when you need me, I am absolutely there for you. Like if you need me to phone you every day, I will phone you every day when you need me in that capacity. But if you don't need me, if everything's going okay, then we might not hear from each other for a little while. I know this sounds weird. I do know the timings of how long we can go without talking. I do understand that. And sometimes I think, oh, I haven't heard from that person for a while. And it's really weird when I call them or they call me, we always go, I was just thinking about you. I can't believe that. I was just thinking about you. I had one this week where I texted her on Thursday. She'd been in Japan for a couple of weeks, and I thought, this is a person who during COVID, she was like my person, and she lived very close to me, and we would see each other maybe every second day during COVID. And then after COVID, she bought a property further out from town, and now I might see her two times a month. It's quite different. And I was thinking, oh, I haven't heard from her. I'm sure she's back from Japan now. I'll just text her. So I texted her and just said, oh, hi, how are you going back from Japan? How's Japan? And then she texted back and went, oh, my God, I was literally just thinking about you. I'm in town tomorrow. Do you want to have dinner? you know? And then we had dinner and we sat down and we talked for a number of hours just having dinner.
Yeah.
And then it's weird. I think we talked for about 2.5 hours, and then literally the wine bar was like looking at us like, you need to go.
Yeah.
They want our table. And it was great, you know. And then I walked her down to the train station. She went home. We're like, okay, let's catch up. Coldplay's coming next week. Maybe we can try and get a couple of extra tickets. You know, that's how my friendships run. It's like everything's great every time we get together. Yeah, that's.
But you know the boundaries around that, I guess. Like, it's a well communicated expectation around that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I think it's hard sometimes for maybe newer friendships when they don't hear from me all the time. So yeah. I know you hear from me all the time.
I hear from you all the time.
I know. Honestly. Sometimes I can be a stalker. But probably older relationships, you and I, because we have this together,
yeah.
I think a lot of it. But then even if we didn't, I think we probably would.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just the way we communicate. But a lot of my old friends are telephone call, not messaging, whereas you and I can message each other.
Yeah, we're messaging.
Yes, whereas a lot of my older friends, it's definitely the physicality of meeting and the phone call and that sort of stuff. So, and it's weird because some of my older friends, they're not texters. They're not texters at all. So, you know what? My friends who are texters probably hear from me a lot more than my friends who are the phone call.
Interesting.
Now that we're sort of processing that. But we're still, you know, we're still really good mates.
Wow.
It's funny, you know, though, because when I used to go on holidays and things like that, I used to send all my friends a postcard.
Same.
Always send a postcard.
Yes.
And I'd still probably do it now, actually. And if I didn't, they'd go, where's that postcard, you know, to say everything's great and I'm having a great holiday and putting in a few little details and things like that.
I can't believe we used to do that.
I know. I love postcards. I still love postcards, Dash. Still look at postcards wherever I go and think,
I don't think I remember the last time I've seen a postcard.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to seek them out. But I'll still, if I travel, I'll find postcards and post everybody a postcard.
That's so – well, I just can't be bothered going to the post office now.
Your hotel will do it for you.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, you just ask them to post and they'll do it.
Interesting. Interesting.
Anyway, that's me. I am a great friend, but you won't hear from me all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Can I go to something with that?
Yeah.
Because I've had an experience recently where I have a really good long-term friend, and I have actually needed her in some capacity this year and she wasn't there for me. It's really weird. It's really weird been the other way around. And it's actually made me think a little bit to make sure I am present for my friends when I know they need me.
Yeah, okay.
Like it's just been an interesting experience for me to be on the other end of that.
Yeah.
And then to go, wow, I better make sure I'm not doing that to my friends who need me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I better make sure of that. It's just been a new experience for me that way.
And that your friends know to tell you that they need you.
Yeah, yeah. I told her I needed her and I still didn't get what I needed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that was a bit devastating for me.
Does she listen to this podcast?
No, I don't think so. But and it's not an end of a friendship either. Yeah. It's definitely not. Yeah, that just has made me I'm saying all this to you listeners and just saying, you know, but it has made me rethink a couple of little things recently to check in a little bit to make sure they're okay. I send them a text.
You send them a text message. Just thinking of you.
I don't say that. I'm just thinking of you. Because I just feel if I say just thinking of you, am I really? So I just send a message to go, hey, this is what's happening in my life. What's happening in yours?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So I'll just go, oh, guess what? Da 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 da. And then I'll go, and then I put as a separate text, because you always do, you do multiple little texts. And then they would go, now, how are you going?
Yeah.
You know, and I want them to write back to tell me how they're going.
And do they?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
They do. Yeah. Often the phone call comes through, to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
So, and then I look at it and I go, oh, do I answer it? And the answer is yes. I've had this big year where I have decided that anytime my phone rings and I can see it and I've got the time, I answer that phone.
Yeah.
Because I read this thing about how important it is to my mental health to actually have those conversations.
Yeah, because it's very important.
It's so easy to just go, I'll just call back later.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do that. But now I've really been pushing about, no, I'm going to answer that call in this moment. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's mine. What's another one of yours?
I grew up thinking I would be a very traditional wife. Okay. And I I know I am a really good wife, but I absolutely do not do any housework chores.
But what makes a good wife?
I know.
I'm not a good wife either then.
But it's just so interesting. Like, I always thought I'd do the cooking and do the washing and
did
do the cleaning.
Did
I did think that. I did okay. think that.
Well, did you grow up in that traditional household?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
And it was just what was modeled to me. And wow. I think I did try in the first couple of years of our marriage and then actually realized Scott's very good at it because he just incorporates it as part of his routine. And so once it's part of his routine, it gets done. Mm. And so he does all of the washing. He does all of the ironing. He changes the sheets on the bed. I do help occasionally with that one. And then he does the grocery shopping. I will often make the list though. Mm. So yeah, I don't do much. I will cook, but my cooking is more assembling things these days if it's during the week. I'll cook bigger things if we've got people coming over, but he'll always do the washing up of said cooking.
Oh, so I grew up in a household with non-traditional roles, very non-traditional roles, with a full-time working mum and dad who really shared all of, like my dad did most of the cooking, to be honest. When I got up in the morning to go to school, my mum was still in bed. Like I used to make breakfast for my mum and take it to her in bed and because we'd get up really early, we were up at 6:30. And mum wouldn't get up that early because she was in real estate, so she was working quite late at night sometimes.
Yeah.
So I brought that into my marriage. But my husband came from a very, very traditional European background where roles are very heavily defined. He was fine with the way that I am as a wife. His father, not so much. His father took me aside quite a few times early in our marriage to explain the role I should be.
Interesting.
I should be taking, and I didn't. And yeah, it was really. But you know, they came to accept it actually. But his mother loved it. His mother thought I was a rebel. Like she thought I was this wonderful rebel going against the societal norms, but not really. But his mother thought it was fantastic. His dad, not so much. But my hubby has been absolutely fine about it. So we really share roles as well, except for maybe the cooking because I don't like his cooking so much.
So you do all the cooking?
I do a lot of the cooking. Like sometimes he does it and he tries really hard, but I do – it's only because for me cooking is my absolute – that's my place to decompress and zen and it gives me great pleasure and joy to cook.
Mm.
So I'm doing it for a really – not only to fuel us but for almost a selfish capacity that I just enjoy it so much. And when he comes in and he wants to help, I'm like, no, 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 this is my safe space. This is where I, you know, when he tries to give me instructions on what to do and I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, just walk away.
But it's interesting, like I would very rarely cook on my own now actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so even if I am doing the cooking, I'm directing Scott cutting things up and all of those types of things. So we still would cook together for the most part.
I suppose I do sometimes give my hubby some rolls, but it's mostly me doing it. But he's standing on the other side of the bench talking to me.
Yeah.
Like he's chatting away to me. Oh, no, that's probably true because I made pasta the other night and I said, oh, can you get the wine out of the fridge and can you defrost the meat for me? And so I was just giving him tasks to do as I was getting things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I probably do give him some tasks to do, but I don't like it when he then gives me an instruction.
Yeah.
And I'm like, buddy,
this step, is my
away.
Domain.
Step away. Step away. Like, yeah, I've been doing this for years. I know what I'm doing.
But it's so interesting because I also think for some of the things that Scott has taken on, like particularly with the washing, it's almost like there's a chemistry and a physics to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So he quite likes thinking about like the different washing detergents, the spin cycles, the different things. And so when he goes overseas or is away, he sends me instructions on how to wash.
Oh, you're kidding. That's
and like what
hilarious.
Temperature, what spin cycle, what different like sanitizers or detergents go in and all of those things. And I'm constantly like, okay.
I think that's really funny.
But he's taken on the mental load of it, so I'm very appreciative of it and he does a much better job.
It's a hard no, Scott.
It's a hard no.
I was going to say the other thing as well about these sorts of traditional roles, being a wife and things like that, like even things like driving. Maladin doesn't like to drive.
Oh, Scott does all the driving.
Yeah, see, Maladin doesn't like to drive.
I'm terrible at it.
So I do almost all the driving. It's really strange. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's fine driving, don't get me wrong. But when we're in the car, he prefers that I do it. I'm like, okay. Because he feels like I know exactly where we're going and I don't have to ask anybody and I can get there. Whereas if he was driving, he has to ask me for
directions.
So he goes, it's just easier if you do it.
You can have a GPS on.
Yeah, no, but he just doesn't. So I'm like, okay, I'll just do it. So, yeah, so we had that's definitely not a non-traditional role as well. Just, yeah, it's funny. One of the things I really want to bring up is I've been a medical professional and I've got a lot of friends who are medical professionals. We often complain about our home lives and just like, oh, you know, I go do this, I go do that. And so we had this big joke about we need a wife. It's something we say all the time.
Yeah.
I need a wife.
But it sounds like for the most part you do have a wife.
We
at
do.
Home.
But yeah. It's such an anti-feminist thing to say.
It
but,
is.
You know, sometimes you go, oh, I need a wife. And we laugh, you know, because you don't really mean that.
No.
But yeah, we do have a laugh. I actually think we need a PA. That's what it is.
And it's actually one of the things that Scott and I have often talked about, how much we would love it if we had like a PA and someone to do all the errands for us.
It would be
life
amazing,
admin.
Wouldn't
it? Oh my God, it would be so good.
To do all that sort of stuff.
We're not at that life stage or financial capability. Anyway.
So another thing about me is that I'm in my mid-50s now. I'm closer to 60 than I am to 50. But I have very young person's hobbies.
Yeah.
Very young
you
person's
do.
Hobbies. Yeah, and sometimes it surprises people.
You don't crochet?
No, although I have when I was younger. But I don't do traditionally what older people would do. I do a lot of young people things, which really surprises people. So, you know, things like I'm mad on Lego still. I still love Lego. And I have an insane Lego collection. You'd be stunned if you saw it. So still love Lego. I still love jigsaws. I was doing one last night. You know, I've got an insane jigsaw collection as well. And I'll redo them, but I really love jigsaw puzzles. I like that from a mental capacity. And the other thing as well is I like to go to a lot of concerts, but concerts of what people would consider young person's music.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I went, you know, saw The Weeknd, I saw Harry Styles, I saw Taylor Swift, I'm going to Coldplay next weekend. I do go to a lot of concerts. The only thing that's changed is I go a lot with my sister and I always used to buy tickets in the standing area and she's told me a lot of I'm not allowed to do that anymore. We
have to have seats.
I have seats now. So, and sometimes I just think, oh, I wish I was right in the middle of it. But
sometimes
not allowed to do that
the concerts don't always have seated areas.
Sometimes they don't. They don't. I've got a really funny story about a concert. I went and saw Peking Duck.
I have no idea.
And Peking Duck are like two DJs. They're really great. They're really great, right? And there was no seating area. And so my sister and I had bought these tickets and we said, let's go to Peking Duck. We were literally at the front of the audience and people are dancing like crazy, like really, really dancing, right? And I get tapped on the shoulder by this girl and I turn around and she says to me, this is a couple of years ago, and she says to me, I think it's really great that you're here. And I just didn't understand at first. And I was like, what? And she goes, oh, I just think it's amazing that you're dancing and you're here. And I realized because she thinks I'm so old.
Oh, my God.
She thinks I'm so old.
What did you say?
We just laughed. And then they kept wanting to dance with us because, like, it was so funny to see these two older ladies dancing in the middle of this young group.
Did they take a selfie of you?
It was so funny. It was just so – they just kept bothering us and bothering us. Then it got really into heavy dancing and Julia and I like, we're tapping out. We're going to go towards the back of the crowd now.
Yeah.
But we still laugh about it to this day. That how funny was that, that we were right in the middle of it and all these young people are like celebrating us that we were there dancing with them. Like, this is incredible. And another time I went to a concert with one of my other sisters. I'm trying to think who it was. It might have been Imagine Dragon. and we were in the standing area again, and these guys next to us, they were saying to us about, oh, you know, it's really great you're at the concert, and almost like, what brought you here? And what came out of my mouth was, oh, I'm the parent of one of the band members.
Oh, my God.
And my sister just starts laughing, and they believed it.
Oh, my God, that is hilarious.
And they left us alone. Oh, funny. So, yeah, so I like going along to those things. And I often think, when will I stop? Will I be like in my 70s still being here? But I love being open to new experiences, and I love seeing, you know, what's the young people doing. And I don't know, I don't know if it just keeps me young or it keeps me interested in what society's going through at the moment. You know, like, I'm a huge fan of TikTok.
Yeah.
Massive fan, early, early massive fan.
You're an early adopter.
Really early adopter of that. I just like seeing what's going on in the world and what's happening and go and be part of it. And I was thinking, is it FOMO? But I don't think it is. I think it's just, it's how I keep myself interested in what's happening.
I think you're a naturally curious person.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
There's a lot of like, and it's actually interesting because I was talking to people at work, and we do a lot of reading and a lot of things just in a work capacity. Can be very easy to only do that. Mm. And you can kind of tell the people who aren't reading the news, who aren't engaging with world events, who aren't like across all of this stuff that's happening on social media. And so I often now for my team have this like catch cry of, we have to know what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if we're only looking at, you know, what's happening now, like in the present moment, then we're not going to be ready and we're not going to be relevant.
Yeah.
And often it's the things that are happening on social media or, you know, these innovations or the conversations, and you think, oh, let's see. So funny story, ChatGPT.
Oh, I love it.
Love it.
I've been using it all
the time.
Yeah.
There's so many people I know who won't touch it.
I don't know why. Like the other day I wanted to make a lemon tart. So I put it into ChatGPT, give me the best recipe for a lemon tart. It gave me an amazing recipe for a lemon tart, and I made it.
Well, this morning when I PDF'd my image, it was a bit blurry, and I was like, I need a higher resolution image.
Yeah.
And I'd made it originally in PowerPoint, and so I just typed into ChatGPT, how do I make my PowerPoint image higher resolution when I export it into Word, or when it's in Word and then it goes into a PDF, and it gave me instructions for Mac, instructions for Windows, and then I was like, that didn't work. And then they tried different, like, gave me heaps of different options.
So do you know something my hubby was talking about yesterday to me in the car when we were driving around? There's this new thing now where you can get a manual to work something. So, like, you know, you got a manual for your new TV or a manual for a new instrument, and you don't want to read the manual. You just can't be bothered. You feed it into ChatGPT and it will just talk you through the important points.
Look, I did try doing that with the New Age Care Act and it didn't work.
Oh, I didn't know.
No. It was like, summarize the key points.
Didn't do that.
Maybe there was too much. I'm not sure.
You had to do the work.
I had to do the work and read it. But it's just interesting, like the early adopters of some of this kind of stuff.
Do you know the thing is, though, a lot of my friends don't come along for the ride. So, like, I went and saw Kendrick Lamar. Oh, nobody would go with me.
To be fair, I wouldn't have gone with you either.
It was great. And I went on my own. And because everyone's like, are you kidding? But I mean, the guy, he was calling himself Pulitzer Kenny. He'd won a Pulitzer. Like, let's go along and see why and what's interesting to these young people. It was fascinating. It was almost like a social experiment that you're just watching people, and they're probably watching you too going, what is this lady doing here? But yeah, a lot of my friends, I must say, that's why I think I have a lot of younger friends as well. I have quite a few younger friends because definitely my friends are like, absolutely not, hard no.
Yeah, interesting.
yeah. So they're like, I don't want to do that. Like, why would you want to do that? I'm lucky one of my sisters is very much into that sort of stuff. So we go along to, you know, we went and saw the Hilltop Hoods last time they were here, and we do that sort of thing together quite a lot, which is good.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice to have someone to do that with. Yeah.
That's really nice. The other thing is, I was such a voracious reader as a kid.
Yeah.
That's all I would do. And so I have this identity of being a reader.
Of being a massive reader.
Being a massive reader.
Yeah.
And I
have Are you talking about fiction? Like massive reader of fiction?
Anything, or? Just books in general. Like, fiction, non-fiction.
Okay.
But not research articles, I wouldn't call them.
Yeah.
Or textbooks. And so I have a strong identity of reading. However, I realised today I haven't picked up a book to read for the last 6 weeks.
Which is a long time.
It's a long time.
To go, because that's a couple of books you could have read.
Yeah.
Is that because you're reading for work?
Reading for work, writing for work, just too tired. And I've just been, well, I found some good shows on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been watching probably more TV than I would have otherwise. But otherwise, I've just been going through social media probably a bit too much.
Spending too much time on the apps, yeah.
And the reels and playing the New York Times games and that kind of stuff has just probably been where my head needs to be at the moment. And I was reading a book and I just wasn't getting into it very much. So I think I actually just need to stop reading that book and just switch to a book that I do like reading and hopefully I'll get back into it. But I think on average, I actually don't read that many books a year.
Really?
Mm.
See, I thought you were a reader. Like, because you'll put a picture up when you're reading a book.
Yeah, because I need people to know this is my identity. I am reading said book. But it might take me quite a while to get through it.
Fibber dibber.
Oh, I know. Or I read a lot through, like, the summer holiday period.
Yes. You'll probably read quite a bit over Chrissy.
I will. But, you know, in total I might only read 8 to 10 books in a whole year, which is not a lot.
Do you belong to a book club or anything like that?
I was at one point in 3 different book clubs.
Okay.
And I was often the one picking the books.
Okay.
But we don't meet enough that I feel like I have to get through the book quickly.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other members don't read the books, so then,
That's
no
annoying.
Pressure.
It's annoying.
No pressure. Like.
But then people just, I can't sleep without reading. So for me, I am definitely a reader. But I don't know if I identify as one. It's just part of my lifestyle that I've always, but I do get stuck on different genres.
Yeah.
Like I'm definitely stuck a little bit at the moment with the genres that I'm reading. And I often thought maybe I need a book club again to push me into other aspects. But sometimes you belong to a book club, like I belonged to one earlier on, and it was books that were just so miserable, I wasn't getting any enjoyment. I just want to read to have fun nowadays.
Yeah.
Fun fantasy. Like I told you earlier, I'm rereading all the Harry Potters at the moment.
Yeah.
Haven't read them in years and years, and I'm in book 5 at the moment. I'm really enjoying it. Like I want to go to bed and read.
Interesting.
I want to read.
Yeah.
And there's a few books like that. Like this year I read The Fourth Wing and the follow-up to that. I couldn't put that book down. I couldn't wait to get to bed to read the book. And anyone who's read it will know why. Yeah, I think you might have to find some good books.
Yeah, I think some of the books I'm reading are too like Sometimes, they're not funny. I need a funny book.
Yeah, you need something that you just really look forward to. Yeah, light and just looking forward to reading again. You know? Just are you reading a lot of fiction or some of it nonfiction?
Some of it nonfiction, and actually the last book I enjoy that I really, you know, read quite quickly was a nonfiction book, which was Breaking Through Catalin Carrico.
Okay.
And she was working on mRNA and was part of the group that worked out the COVID vaccine.
Oh, okay.
Such a fascinating story and how much she had to fight in science. But anyway, excellent. Read that really quickly, but really struggling with the current book, so I think I just need to give up on it.
Do you know one thing is nonfiction I can't read? Because it doesn't excite me, but I want to do nonfiction, so I do all of them book on audio.
Have you read Trevor Noah's?
No, I haven't. No.
You have to read that.
So I really want to read them and I get really into them, but always book on audio. And then I do a jigsaw as I'm doing it. Like it's in the background. Hubby's listening to it as well. That's the only way I can do nonfiction nowadays. Because you go through phases. Like many years ago, I went through a phase of all those self-help books. Like did a ton of them. But now if I'm reading it, sometimes I can get bogged down in it a little bit and I'm just not enjoying it. So, I always do them now. Book on tape, always, or, you know, audio.
Tape.
Book on tape.
Oh, my goodness, Fiona.
When Milan and I used to live in Geraldton and we'd drive down to Perth and it was a four-hour drive, we have so many books on tape.
Tape.
It's crazy. We still got them.
Why? Do you have a tape player?
No. And we still got them. And I used to, that's how we listened to a lot of Harry Potter too, with Stephen Fry doing it. It's how Maladdin heard all the Harry Potters was, I read them. He heard them book on CD by then. But it's such a delightful way to have a drive, listening to someone read a book to you. And there was one stage when we were reading, we were listening to Bill Bryson's A Walk in the Woods, which is a hysterical story about him doing the Appalachian Trail. We had to pull over because we were laughing too hard. We were becoming dangerous on the road. Like, we just had to pull over and listen to the last thing that he was saying, because we literally had tears pouring down our eyes, because he was reading it himself as well. So
yeah.
It was so funny, so funny.
Well, you need to listen to Bono's Surrender.
Okay, yeah.
And you need to listen to Trevor Noah's Born a Crime on Audible.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. And they read them themselves?
Read them themselves. Yeah. And Trevor Noah's is another one. Sad in places, but so hysterical in places that you will need to pull over if you're driving.
To listen to it.
Did you have any others?
No, there's probably heaps.
Dualisms?
More. Probably heaps more, but I can't think of them at this very moment. But I'm sure, yeah. I'm just so perfect.
So perfect. But I just think I want to embrace the dualism more, and to, because I feel like sometimes our world is very black and white.
It is.
And to kind of say this and this.
I can be this and I can be this as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can be an incredibly independent woman, and I can pull into a petrol station and expect a man to fill up my petrol tank.
Oh, God, I'd never do that. Put my own ties and
nah. I'm so not doing any of that.
Seriously.
And the other
day,
because we've got a new car and I find it too big and I'm not very good at parking it, I almost got to the point where I was literally just going to get out of the car and go to the closest man, park the car.
Don't be a stereotype. Oh my God.
It has sensors, it has cameras and everything. It beeps at you, and I was just after the fifth
that.
Or sixth time of trying to like get the angle right, I was just like, I'm so bad at this.
Need a mini like we've got. Fits in everywhere.
I know. I actually wish I had a smaller car, but we just wanted a bigger car for Venus Bay.
Yeah, because you're travelling. I get it. Yeah. So it's probably better. But
and half the time I'm not the one driving. Scott is. So
you need to drive more.
Yeah, but I just, oh my God. Anyway, so I'm independent woman, except when it comes to those types of things and household chores and actually anything that requires any type of physical labour. Hi everyone, it's Dash. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast, and don't forget to leave a rating and a review. If you've enjoyed our show and like what you're hearing, tell all your friends and family and hit that subscribe button. If you want to hear our updates and know when episodes drop, follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. And our original music was composed and performed by the amazing Luke Champion.